Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, and it's so good to hear from you. And we have a caller online right now. How are you? This is a familiar number, one of our loyal listeners. Hi, good morning. That voice is familiar.
Maria.
Good morning. It's so good to hear from you, Maria. Yes, very good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. You know, today we're going to be talking about self-empowerment again. And we ended last week with talking about the factor that no one else can empower us. No one else can give us the power. And I remember, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, you brought out last week that God empowers you.
Yes, he does.
Yes. And that's a very, very beautiful thing that you shared with us, is that God empowers you, and that when you look inside of yourself and you begin that prayer cycle, if you will, and or meditation, whatever people want to call it, but it's just getting in touch with the spiritual side of yourself to understand what really powers you up. You know, with everything in our life, we've got to plug into something. You're not going to get a light bulb to work unless you plug the lamp into the wall.
Right?
You got to plug the lamp in, then the light shines. Okay?
Right.
I don't know anything on this earth that runs without energy. If you want movement, if you want light, if you want anything that requires an on and an off, you've got to be able to plug into a source. So if you want to turn your power on or off, Maria, then you're going to have to plug into something. And that's why I appreciated what you said last week about your source and my source is plugging into God. Okay?
Yes.
And I hope whoever's listening out there, and again, I appreciate the almost 20,000 listeners that come in and out of the show and listen to our broadcasts. I thank you so much for empowering us, because you do empower. In other words, not empowering us in the sense that you're taking away our power, but you give us, I guess, the unconscious permission, as we read last week through Nelson Mandela's speech, which is Marianne Williamson's writings, and it says, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. So one of the things that we want to make sure we do is not to shrink, okay, because we feel that, you know, we have some light that we want to share. We don't want to shrink about it. We don't want to feel that, oh, boy, I better not share with anybody that I got the answer, or that I know how to do something, or that I'm really smart at this. Why not show them? When you show people that you're smart and motivated, ambitious, I'm going to reach my goals, I'm a child of God like you are, that we can all shine our light. And that's so important. We don't want anyone to take away our light, and we don't want to take away anybody else's light. So we ask all of our listeners right now to really get in touch with what self-empowerment means, because I'd like to get into what this self-empowerment, how deep it can go with addiction this morning. Okay? Wow. The show description says true change only happens when we are ready to make the move. And it's really important when we or I am ready to make the move is when change really happens. And that can be that, you know, I'm dealing with or I'm challenged by an addiction to food, an addiction to sex, an addiction to a romantic relationship, or drugs, bad drugs, good drugs. You know, we did a show on the factor that there are drugs in our system that God automatically created for us in order for us to feel better. But we deplete them very early in our life by eating the wrong foods, those endorphins that are already in our body that God already placed for us to feel better when we are experiencing any pain. And what we do is we deplete them because we don't eat properly or even think properly. See, thinking changes our structure too. The way we think, our thoughts impact our physical. Do you agree? Our thoughts, the way we think about our body, about our world, can have a negative impact on our body. So if we don't eat the right foods, if we don't think the right thoughts that are good for us, and so when I say right, I'm not judging what right is. You are. Each individual knows what's right for them. So again, anyone who has been challenged by any addiction or working at a job or degree that will tell you that all the begging, everybody will say this, you can beg me all you want to and complain, but I am not going to remove this craving for whatever I need, whether it's destructive or not destructive. You're not going to make me change it unless I'm ready, unless I'm able to empower myself to make that change happen. And so whatever source I use to make that change happen, that's going to be an individual relationship that I have with my spiritual self. And I talk a lot about the spiritual self because, gosh, to me, there, you know, that's the most powerful. I was reading something the other night. I can't remember the source of it, but it went something like this. It's that the most important things in our life, the most critical things, are the things that we don't see, that we don't hear, that we don't smell, that we don't taste, and that we don't touch. So all of the things around that make those things happen, which is our spiritual energy, call it whatever you wish. You know, people call it different names out there, but it all comes back to one source, and that is God. And God becomes the source that we plug into. And that happens whether or not we are categorized as disabled, okay? Be careful with that, disabled. Because the only thing it means is that somewhere in our abilities there's a dis or disconnect. And that disconnect doesn't mean that life has to stop. It just means finding another way. Finding an alternative, another path. So if we're going down one path, one way, and we find out, like if you're driving down the street or walking down the street, Maria, and other listeners out there, and you you find out, oh man, this doesn't go where I thought it was going to go. This is not the street. This is not the right street. What do you do? What do you do if you're going down the wrong street? Do you have any ideas?
You can ask somebody else to give you a good direction. You can look at the address, make sure you have the right address.
That's right. You check that right address, and then you're going to make a change. Once you find out, oh, wait, this is not the right street. This is not the right pathway for me to get to where I need to go. Then we start changing it. And so when we start changing it, then we have to be aware that when we land up on another street, is that the right way? Now we got to look around and make sure that it feels good and feels right as we go down this next highway or street. Does this look okay here? Is that something I remember? Or do I feel uncomfortable going down this path? And if I feel uncomfortable, then I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop and I'm going to back out. I'm going to back out so far that I find another street to get to my destination. And if the destination is about being self-empowered, self-empowered, like taking the responsibility to say, I want to go to school. I want to make a change happen in my life. Maybe you've been out of college or training for a very long time, and you want to get trained on a new job, or you want to learn something that's going to help you. Go for it. At White Apple Institute, our sponsor, we deal with so many students who have the most serious of challenges. And they roll up their sleeves, and even though they have been labeled as disabled, they peel off that label. They say, I'm not going to wear this label. I mean, I know that that's how I get my disability check, and I know that's how my doctors have to write up their reports. I understand that. But I am not going to buy in my mind to the fact that I am disabled and can't do anything. What a disaster that would be if people thought that for a moment that just because they are disabled, they cannot do anything, or disadvantaged because they were raised in poverty. So they go forward and they say, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to sit here, watch television, and if anything happens in my life, then I'll move, but I'm not going to make any moves. That's so sad. And yeah, Professor Applewhite's making a little judgment there on saying that it's sad. Because it's sad for you if that's not what you want and you're giving in. Don't give in. If you're in, Maria, I heard from a student who lives in Nigeria, and this student is trying very, very hard to get a visa to come to the United States. And one of the things that I said to him is you have to try to get this visa and don't give up your faith that one day this is going to happen for you if everything falls in place. But, you know, it gets frustrating, and it's been a lot of years now, and he's feeling like, well, maybe I'm not going to ever be able to come. We have to continue to shine our light for him.
Why?
Because when we do, then his light will shine. And he will understand, just because I live in Nigeria or if you live in any other country, don't just assume that when you get to America, you're going to be able to do all kinds of things. Because sometimes that doesn't work out either. You've got to find an inner peace. You've got to find your own inner motivation. And then you must move to self-empower. Self-empower, that means to take the authority in your hands, in line with what your prayers are to whatever you call God. And you must take those experiences into your consciousness and say, I want to be in a position where I can drive a car, have an apartment or house, have food on the table, and I've got to find a way to do that, no matter what the challenges are. America, the United States, doesn't necessarily have all the answers.
Right.
I guess that's obvious with all the budget stuff going on, huh? Oh, God.
That's besides that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. How come they can't budget? How come they can't get this budget set up? I mean, I'm not one to talk. It takes me a while to get down to my checkbook, you know, and do my checkbook and balance it. So, you know, my finger pointing is minimal here. But, you know, I don't have a whole nation riding on whether or not I'm going to make a decision. And I offer the members of Congress some lessons on self-empowerment. I offer you a way to look at self-empowerment and feel motivated to do something about this budget thing that's going to hurt so many people. You know, we've got to find a way out of this. And so, you know, when we look at, okay, if they can't manage the budget and they can't get the United States of America together, why should my student in Nigeria want to even come here to this great country? You know, I ask the question, are you sure this is what you really want to do? Because maybe you might want to think about that again.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this isn't the right answer here. Because if we don't get this thing together, we could very easily, and I'm not going to say land up as a third world country, but certainly we're going to be in a lot of trouble if we cannot pay our debts. Which is,
right.
I mean, and that's, yeah. You know how many people this is going to hurt, Maria?
Yeah.
It's going to hurt a lot of people. And it's just sad. It's just really sad that we can't find a way to help Congress understand what is at stake here and why they have to feel some motivation to get this thing in order. But, you know, we spoke for a moment earlier when we started this show, and I was talking about the factor that you can't change someone else. You cannot change another human being. And so when you talk about someone saying, I want you to stop smoking. I want you to stop eating the way you do. I want you to stop feeling angry. I want you to stop feeling sad. I want you to sit down and I want you to balance your checkbook. When you start throwing things like that out, you must understand that it takes the individual person to say, I really want to make this change happen. And without that, it's not going to happen. We have another caller online right now. This looks like a familiar, loyal listener here, loyal participant. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. Thank you so much for acknowledging my call.
And a familiar voice, Professor Astete.
Yes, Consuelo Astete.
Yes, hello, Consuelo. Yes, good morning. University
hello,
of Arizona. Yes, you recognize her voice. There you go. Loyal listeners this morning. Yeah, we have a lot of people that are online. By the way, our chat is open, just so anyone else that is interested in speaking on the show and you want to share something, go ahead, feel free to write a comment. We're waiting for your story and comments on self-empowerment. And remember, you've got the power. You've got the power. No one else has got the power for you to get your engine started. It's just like if you get in the car right now. You get in the car right now, you can sit there forever and wait for somebody else to come along and put the key in and start your car and then move your foot onto the accelerator pedal. Can you imagine doing that? No, nobody does that, right?
No.
Does anybody sit in their car and wait for someone else to start the motor and physically move their foot onto the pedal?
No.
Okay? Push the pedal and then drive it for them. And they'd have to drive it from either in back of them or from the passenger side because they're sitting in front of the wheel. You see? So as long as you're doing that, go ahead.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What if they don't have the power to do anything? What do you say to them?
Say that question again, please.
I said, what if they don't have the power to do it? What would you say to them? What would be something that they can trust them? Because some of them, I know people now that you say it's sad to see them just watch TV all day and let life pass day by day and not doing anything about it. I mean, they can do more. They can do more, but they just sit there, watch TV the whole day. What would you say to them? What can you say to them?
Okay, let's go back for a minute. And remember that, let me just remind you of something that we said at the very, very beginning of the show before I answer that, okay? And Professor Stete, you feel free to jump in anytime on this. We talked about true change only happens when the person is ready to make the move. So if you're challenged by the addiction, and it does become an addiction to stay at home. It becomes an addiction to not do anything with your life. That's an addiction too, okay? Any habit, anything that we do that overshadows what we really want to do becomes a destructive force, okay? So we're all in agreement with that. But I said something very interesting a moment ago, though. I said that we don't want to do. You see, that's what makes the difference. The individual person has to want to make change happen. So we can look at them and we can say, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But we're only looking at it through our own eyes. We're looking through it and saying, because I see that this is wrong for you. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with you saying that, But as long as you understand the balance in that, the balance is that, remember, you're looking through your eyes, through your glasses at their life. The key is, how do you get them to see it? Because you can hear them. I just had someone recently, a nursing student, that has been so committed, so dedicated. And all of a sudden now, she's changed her whole course of action and is not going back to school. And this is someone who's been challenged over and over again with learning disabilities. And, you know, it just breaks your heart to see someone who has gone to school for many, many years and overcome the challenges of people telling her that she couldn't do it. And for her to accept now, well, I don't want to do it anymore. I put in all this time, and I just don't want to do it. Now, what do I say to her? I mean, that's almost, to me, that's almost more heartbreaking than someone who's just still sitting there day in and day out. This person got up, started to do something, and then they drop out. But I have to respect the fact that true change is only going to happen for her when she is ready to make the move. So all the begging, all the complaining that we can do to someone to ask them stop smoking, make some changes in your life, get up off of the couch, stop watching television all day, remember that they have to be ready to empower themselves to make the change happen. It's an inside job. Any other comments?
Well, to answer Maria's question, we have to go to the very beginning of empowerment, to the very beginning of these weekly sessions that we have had with Dr. Applewhite. We have to start all over again to the very basics that we said, that your teacher is inside you,
yes.
Your inner teacher, and how do we find the inner teacher? We
yes.
have to go back to that. How do we find that inner teacher?
Exactly.
So maybe
Thank
we can
you.
Review those points.
Yes.
Because all of us have a wonderful teacher inside of us, but until we discover that, we are not going to be exactly being empowered, and we're not going to be making use
motivated,
of our
yeah.
our ability, our well, to be redundant, we're not going to be
mm-hmm.
able to use all this power that we have inside until we discover that.
Right. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Because what we are really saying is that we have to, and Jesus, the great teacher, I mean, we can't ignore that he said that remove something from your eye before you can start removing it from anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have things that we all have to work on. So the basic thing that we need to remember is maybe we need to be the models for other people to make change happen, that by doing the right things for ourselves, and what do we call the right things? And let's make sure that we've got that straight. The right things are the things that we believe are right, not what somebody else believes are right. We have to agree that, okay, this is right for me, this feels good. And so if it doesn't feel good, I guarantee you the human being will not move.
Mm-hmm.
Study after study after study. You can watch a baby, and you can put two things in front of the baby, a toy and a delicious cookie. And 9 times out of 10, they will go to what they feel that they need at that moment. They will be motivated. They're going to want both of them, of course. But which one are they going to choose first? The parent stands there and says, but the right thing is probably for them to choose the toy because I don't want them to have a lot of sugar in their system and eat the cookie. And another person comes around and says, no, no, the cookie is good because if they eat the cookie, then they're going to be really, really happy, and then they're going to want to play with the toy. Everybody has different opinions about what everybody should do. But that child teaches us, that little baby teaches us, that whatever is inside of that baby is what that baby is going to be motivated to do. And we never lose that. Because that really is part of our own ego, our own self, that individuality that we have. And so that individuality plays a part in this, in the factor, as you said, Professor Estete, when we go back to the basics of our own self-motivation and know that when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Mm-hmm.
So only when that person sitting on the couch, Maria, looking at television all day long and not doing anything that we call productive in their life, until they make up their mind, no movement will occur. So the only thing you can do is, you know, and I've done it many, many times, is to bring brochures to people, you know, bring ideas to people. If you care enough, maybe even ask them, come on out and have something to eat with me, have some lunch. I'm on my way to the library. I'm on my way to the bookstore. Would you like to go with me? That's all we can really do. And by the way, next week I'll be registering in college, you tell them. And maybe they won't move or say anything at that very moment, because they don't even know what self-empowerment's all about. They're still stuck in the fear. What if I don't make it? What if, no, that might not work. Well, Maria is smarter than I am. She's stronger than I am. My sister's stronger. My mother's smarter. My brother's better, stronger. And they make up all of these excuses in their minds. While you're standing there just turning red, trying to explain them, come on, get up off the couch, turn off the television for a minute. Have you even been outside in Arizona here? It's not too much fun during the daytime to go outside. But you know what? I notice when you go outside a little bit in that heat, you really learn to appreciate the air conditioning inside. So we got to try to get people outside for a minute so that they can even appreciate what's inside. You don't know that there's light if you're steadily in the darkness. You don't even know that there's light. Because all you know is this dark hole, this dark place around you. And it could be your bedroom or your living room couch. It could be a skilled nursing facility, a nursing home. And you want to get out of it. It could be a very destructive marriage or friendship or romantic relationship, and you want to get out of it. But you can't move. You're stuck. It's like almost glue is on your, or sticking your foot to the floor. It's almost like we were talking about that example of getting in the car and just sitting there waiting for somebody else to start it and actually move your foot to the pedal. And that's what you're really talking about, Maria. It's people who, they sit down in the car and they tell you, I really want to go somewhere, Maria. I want to go somewhere. And you say, okay, well, start the car. Let's go. And they still sit there. Isn't that frustrating? It's very frustrating, isn't it? Are you there?
Yes,
I don't know if she's left this. Okay. She may have left switchboard for a minute. But the bottle, you understand what I'm saying, don't you, Professor Sete?
Yes, of course, yes. So,
I mean, how can you make them? Go ahead.
Well, one of the effective ways is what you described, to keep in touch with the person and
mm-hmm.
motivate them every time that we can. And mm-hmm. oftentimes something unusual, extraordinary, drastic will happen in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily have to be negative, but something that will really make them jump and
mm-hmm.
and motivate them, and then they can start doing things, and it's just amazing how, but it's something so personal.
Mm-hmm. It is very personal, isn't it?
That yes, but something, you know, will happen that will really wake them up. And I believe that is also a product or a result of our influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, we are all connected, and
yes.
we have very good positive thoughts and love for others, including the people we're trying to help. That will motivate for something to happen. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
Some people call it a miracle, something extraordinary, but it's all motivated by that love of the people that we're surrounded by, that motivates, that makes something happen. With that,
yes.
that has been the case, you know, personally with me, that it's almost like a miracle that makes me get up and start doing something, and I just am so thankful that it happens, because there's so many changes in my life for good
mm-hmm.
in that way. And so in my personal life, prayer has a lot to do. Prayer is powerful. So many
mm-hmm.
times the miracle we can attribute to the prayer. And that is a way to start for some of us.
Well, prayer gives us focus. It definitely gives us focus on any issue
mm-hmm.
that we're praying about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it connects us to that source. Maria and I were talking about at the beginning of the show, of the factor that no matter what, you have to plug in to some kind of source, some kind
mm-hmm.
of energy source for our light to shine. And that
mm-hmm.
goes the same for our light, our inner light, that we've got to plug into a source. And if that source is God for us, by whatever name we call God, then by all means, let us use that. So if you want to plug in to what you call Jesus Christ or Allah or Jehovah or Buddha or whatever name you want to call this beautiful, loving force, then know that eventually and without any religious squabbling or war against one another, just know that if we're all plugging in to the same source, then eventually that source will all recognize it in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be any room for wars or judgments, because we'll all be doing something and respecting each other for what we're doing, instead of making up in our minds what we think another person should be doing. Now, here's the hard part. When it's someone you love, someone you truly care about, and we'll go back to the example that Maria brought out for us, and they're just sitting there, and we say to them, you're wasting your life away. That's hard. to see someone that you love and care about not doing anything to move forward in his or her life. So how do we stop our heart from breaking about this? I'm going to say something to you that's going to be so hard for any of us to do. And that is break the tie. Break the emotional tie between you and that other person that is not making it happen. Because what happens to you is that the more you're around a person like that, you begin to start losing a little bit or a lot of your own self-motivation and self-empowerment. It begins to chip away at you. I notice it when people will come in to a doctor's office or into your home, and if you have a television on, they will automatically get hooked right into that television and almost stop talking to you. Personally, I don't like televisions in the living room because that's where people come in to converse with me. And so the television becomes a distraction. And then I can't really model any kind of behavior for them because they're distracted and looking at something else. So we've got to be strong enough within ourselves to change us, to change ourselves. And when we change ourselves, then automatically we begin to help others to change. We have another caller online. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. This is Dr. Beverly Fulmes, and I just want to say good morning. Love your show.
Oh, good morning. Always a pleasure. Another loyal listener there, and no matter what time you come into this show, it is always a good time. It is always right on time. And I'll tell you, we are just so, right now we're all just feeling this sense of self-empowerment, and I'm taking it on to say that for our other listeners out there, that by listening to the show, and if you're hanging in there with it, you're already feeling a sense of self-empowerment because you're taking the authority to say, I am in charge of how things happen and the changes that happen in my life. I'm in charge with the guidance and the energy from the source we call God, whatever that name is, whatever we picture that energy is. But we can't go, the mechanism cannot go without some kind of battery or source. So how do we provide that source? Maria asked a great question, Dr. Pullman. And it was regarding the fact that help somebody be empowered when they're sitting on the couch all the time watching television. And we had to go back to the fact that, here again, the word self-empowerment, self. If they're not empowered to do it themselves, how can we do it for them?
Right.
Did you were you able to hear that example about the car, sitting in the car?
No, I did not.
Well, let's review that because I hope that this will get this across, and maybe you can give us some feedback on that. What we were talking about is the person who says, "I want to go somewhere," okay? I really, really do. And so they go and they sit in the car. They have the car keys in their hand. And they do absolutely nothing because they're waiting for someone else to put the keys in the ignition and to physically lift their leg up and put it on the pedal and drive for them. And we know that's impossible.
Exactly.
Most of us learn how to drive when we're sitting in the car and we're looking at our parent drive. And we begin, that desire begins within us to either drive or say, I never want to drive a car. You know, we might actually say we never want to drive a car depending on who our model is. Oh, maybe that's what we're trying to say this morning, is that we have to model the behavior. That when we want to see people change, we have to be change agents in ourselves. So get out of the car with the other individual. Don't try to lift their leg and start their car. Get out and get in your own car. Drive up to them and say, come on, let's go.
Exactly. Exactly. Lead by example. I completely agree with you on that. If they sit there and don't do anything, they'll never get to where they want to be. If you wait for someone else to do it for you, it will not get done. I love that, you know, get in your own car, drive it to them and say, come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the person who is a couch potato. Go, go to that person and say, come on, let's go do this. Come on, let's go do that. Get them moving. Get them doing something. And the more they do and enjoy, the more they're going to do. The more they're going to get that sense of achievement, and the more they're going to want it. And it'll be, if they take a lot to get someone away from the TV. I mean, that example I've experienced with people so much. But it can be done. If they have something motivating them, move in another direction. I'll start moving away from the TV.
So we've got to find alternatives.
Exactly. And a lot of times, TV is just an escape for someone so that they don't have to deal with reality. But if we can help them to change their reality by our behavior changing instead of just fussing or whatever we may do, trying to encourage them to get off the couch, that's not going to work. We change how we present ourselves to them and what we're doing, and then they change. And, you know, that works that way. But if
does that make sense, Maria? Maria, are you there? I hope any of our other listeners that are out there, if they had that same question, that they've got a pretty good idea of what we're talking about here, is that you have to make that change happen within yourself.
You know, Dr. Applewhite, I'd also like to say that everything, every single thing that happens to us in our life is our responsibility. It's our responsibility that it happens. It's our responsibility to make the changes. And unless you're willing to make those changes and make responsibility for your life, it's going to always be going downhill for you. But once you make that determination for the change begins. The environment responds to you. Your life responds to you. But first, you have to say, I'm going to make this change. And then immediately, it's cause and effect. Immediately, when you say that, that change is starting to put into action and starts working.
Wow. Wow, that is very, very important, especially when we're talking about people, because we're really talking about people who are addicted to certain things, okay? And so even though, yes, so the television is escape, but so are drugs, whether they're prescribed drugs or the drugs from the street, okay?
Absolutely.
Or whether it's a relationship or whatever it is that takes over on our behavior. We cannot go in and just tell somebody, you need to change. We need to be a model. We need to go back to that original statement that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. It is our light that most frightens us. Because we start asking ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous, smart? Who am I to be the one that can get up off of the couch and go do something with my life? Who am I to stop taking drugs? Who am I to end this destructive relationship? And the question is, as Marianne Williamson writes, actually, who are you not to be that person. You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world, and it certainly doesn't serve you. So get up off of that couch. Make decisions about how you are going to change your addiction to things that are destructive in your life. But first, you have to recognize it. I have to recognize it. This is not just about, I'm not talking to someone else. I'm talking to myself, too. And we all are here on the Student to Teacher show. That's why it's called Student to Teacher. Because we're all students and we're all teachers. We're all receiving information and we're always sharing that information when we want to. We have that capability to be both student and teacher. And so we talk to ourselves. We have an inner conversation. Have you ever had a conversation with yourself?
Yes.
Okay, now, okay, let's really get down to the bottom line here.
Every
okay?
Day, all day.
All right. So what kinds of, do you want to share any conversations that you have with yourself?
I'll share one that I just had this morning. I was up very late last night doing some things that had to be done because I had deadlines to meet. And so this morning at 8 o'clock, I had a call that I had to be on. And I start talking to myself at about 7 o'clock in the morning, telling myself what I have got to get done today in order to be successful. It ties right into what we're talking about. If I lay in the bed, same as sitting on the couch, then I'm not going to be on the call, and I'm not going to empower the people that I want to empower with conversation or give them directions that they're looking for at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I must get up, and I must be alert, and I must be ready to deliver 100% of myself to them because that's my commitment. And I had a conversation with myself to do that. Now, right after that, I wanted to go back to sleep, and I said, no, we've got to keep moving here. We've got things that we want to do. And I want to be on the Professor Applewhite show today. I want to say something. I want to empower people. I want to let people know that I love them, have confidence
Thank
in
you.
Them, and I love you. And
Thank
I'm so
you.
Happy to be able to say a few words. I don't want to take up all the time, but I'm so happy to be here. And that's what my conversation
oh,
you're, was.
Oh, believe me, you're really sharing some very beautiful things for us. So what was the conversation, again, was that you were telling yourself that you need to get up and you need to get going. And now
exactly.
here's the question, okay, is that the answers that come back to us, okay, when we're saying, okay, we got to get going, we got to get going, there's another voice, because the conversation is two-way, okay? And
no,
that other voice, what was that other voice saying? Lay back down in bed, right?
Go back to sleep. You're so tired. You need to sleep. Go back to sleep. Go back
right.
to sleep.
Exactly.
So that battle, it goes on constantly. We just have to move
yes,
forward and don't let it consume us. Ignore
you
it
know,
and do what we've got to do.
One of our favorite people, a loyal listener and supporter who was our co-host on the show, Nazim Rashid, now has his own show that actually follows the Student to Teacher show called Reconnected, and it's on the Blog Talk Radio network, and Mentor Man sent us a message this morning and said, very good, sharing empowering messages. And we thank him so much for listening in on the show and sending us a chat message. And one of the stories that came across on our chat was about a woman who has just recently made up her mind about getting a divorce, and we do want to acknowledge you for that. Thank you for sharing. I don't have your name here, but your guest, you have a guest number here of 108, and we thank you for coming on our chat, and we thank you for making a decision that makes you feel good. And if it feels good to end your marriage, then by all means, our position in life is to always be in a better place. So we're not advocating that anyone ends their marriage. We advocate that people find a place of balance and a place of peace and love for themselves. And that's most important. That goes beyond anything else. Because you can't do anything with self-empowerment without the motivation to say, I want to make a change happen. You have to feel that inside of you, as Professor Astete brought out a moment ago, to remind ourselves constantly of what these shows are all about. These episodes are about when the student is ready, the teacher appears inside of ourselves. And we must be in a position of readiness to receive that. So we have less than 90 seconds remaining on our show this morning, and I just wanted to take a moment and thank all of you for participating live on the show and on chat, and even our listeners that will be coming in later on and listening to the show. I would like to conclude by saying to you, continue to visualize yourself as a good parent, a good parent, a good child, a good student, a good teacher, and good being the judgment you make about what is good. Stay connected to your inner power, your inner source. Connect, plug into that, and stay there for a while, because so many times we plug in and then we plug out too fast, and so we still don't get things done. So I wish you the best. And as we close and thank Nazim for this great music he provided, Professor Applewhite signing off from White Apple Institute, our sponsor, saying we'll see you next Saturday on another great show. Do not wear that label of disabled or disadvantaged around your neck. Identify yourself as an empowered individual. Thank you. Much love and peace. Talk to you next Saturday.